Welcome, everyone, to another episode of our Revenue Amplifier podcast. And this is our current series, AI in Action, where we dive into the fascinating world of artificial intelligence and its impact on various industries. And we are focusing specifically on healthcare and life sciences. In this episode, we're going to explore the concept of error rates in AI and human performance. We're going to focus on a recent study of coming from a university, a hospital in Copenhagen in Denmark, and we're going to discuss the implication of certain findings that they released and how it relates to the broader context of AI integration in the medical field. The main question today is, should we hold AI to a higher standard than humans when it comes to making mistakes? Hey, Dimitri, how are you doing? Welcome to the next episode and looking forward to having a conversation. This is an incredible topic. What do you think?
Yes. Hi, Dudley. It's actually very, not just incredible conversation. A lot of people are looking for this data. A lot of people want to compare. So there are mistakes from human and there are mistakes from AI. How do you quantify? How do you compare? And actually, is it comparable in the first place? Is it apple to apple or apple to oranges? So that I guess we're going to figure it out at least partially and cover partially this conversation and this topic during our podcast today.
Yeah, I think this what's very interesting is how perception and reality can differ. Yeah. And how sometimes, and I think we've seen this even in the self-drive motor cars or even in airplanes. I mean, airplanes are built so safe these days, they hardly ever make a mistake. Yet people are still fearful of flying, as an example, or self-drive cars have a far lower potential of having any kind of accident, or we call it an accident, but basic collision or some kind of mistake, than humans. Yet we trust humans more to drive us around. So it's just that perception element, and it's going to be very interesting to delve into how that impacts the healthcare and life sciences. So let's have a look at that case study. That was a very interesting study that came from Denmark, from that university hospital.
Yes. So basically what they did, they split the group of people into two pieces, basically. So just to ask it independently and to keep it as much independent as possible. And they asked the question, what is an acceptable error rate in healthcare? Actually, there was a specific healthcare domain, but we're not going to cover this because that's kind of pretty much universal. And the answer was actually very... I'm not sure if it's a surprising. I would say it's more interesting. So the answer was that humans can make mistake on average in about 11.3% cases, right? But when it comes to artificial intelligence, the number was 6.8. So it's almost... AI should be almost two times more efficient from the error standpoint. Mm-hmm. And people expect that AI, it's not about expectation, it's about actually, well, because it's not about expectation, it's about almost to be required to perform higher and to be considered on the same level. So that's actually opened the whole can of worms about why is it? What is so wrong about artificial intelligence or about people? And one of the aspects that we will try to touch during this conversation, it's a so-called social capital. So artificial intelligence doesn't have any social capital. Right? I mean, like your coworker, he has or she, hey, they have social capital. So if your coworker make a mistake, he said, well, yeah, buddy, we're all humans. We make a mistake. Let's do better next time, right? With artificial intelligence, oh, this damn machine again made the mistake. They're going to kill all of us and so on, so on. So and we're not talking about, by the way, we're not talking about some end users. We're talking about high professional, very educated healthcare professionals that they actually quantify mistakes on the daily basis. They deal with patients. They deal with risks on the daily basis. So it's a very well-educated people who actually can should be able to compare and should be able to make proper conclusions. And even in this category, we have such a discrepancy between expectation from human and from artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the whole social, or let's call it even the behavioral psychology around humans, we tend to be social beings. We tend to build trust over a period of time. Yeah. We tend to connect to each other and be a lot more forgiving. And let's call it, it's part of the social construct or the social contract, if you like,
yes,
between two people. So when we're friends, we accept each other's little quirks and nuances and little errors, and we might be a bit irritated but other times, just because we're great friends, we overlook certain things. Where AI is asocial, it is a non-social element. You can't actually build a relationship with AI in its sort of in its raw form, like in its technology form.
Yeah, and actually, that's actually this a social term that you use. Some people actually comparing AI as a social guy in the room. So, I mean, you have a party, right? Everybody's buddies, everybody's hanging shakes, having small talks, having fun. And there is one guy sitting in the corner, and I mean, he's a nice guy, but I don't know. I mean, he did that. and that's what is AI right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's interesting how trust, when you've got a social interaction, you've got a connection with another human being, the trust factor tends to increase or improve over time.
Brilliant.
With the technology, you really have to have almost 100% output to say, oh, I trust that. Like the calculator, like 1 + 1 = 2. You got almost 100% trust that the calculator is going to give you that answer every single time. So you need almost 100% assurance to build trust. But with human beings, it's a lot more malleable. It's more sort of maneuverable, the trust.
Yeah, that's actually, you kind of touched another topic related to the mistakes. So when people make mistakes, they tend, well, in most cases, right, and I hope, they tend to improve over the time, right? So if the person makes mistake, I don't know, 50% of the time this year, so he better make 25% of mistake next year, right, if his experience growing. With any algorithmic system, it doesn't work this way. Artificial intelligence, if it's built and you're not improving it, you're not working in the improvement of this artificial intelligence or any other algorithm, to be frank, it's the same performance over and over and over. And both dynamics, they have its own advantages and disadvantages. And I mean, advantage of growing experience and having less mistake, obviously, is kind of, well, I mean, the person is making fewer and fewer mistakes over the time. But at the same time, those mistakes, they are not predictable. And it depends on the, I don't know, on the mood, on the weather. If you, I don't know, have some personal issues, family issues, something happened to you, I don't know, to your friend, something like this, right? With artificial intelligence, yeah, it doesn't grow. Well, again, if we're talking about not continuously improving algorithmic, continuously improving output for the model, so on, so on, that's a totally separate topic, by the way, which is important. But if it's a fixed system and nobody is working on the improvement, it's going to be the same performance. It's not going to be better next year, but it is a predictable. So if it makes even 15% of the mistakes, it's going to do the same amount of mistakes over and over and over. And you can actually work around those mistakes. You can actually put it in your risk model. You can put it in your, I don't know, some kind of buffer. So whatever you want, how you want, mitigate the risk associated with those mistakes, right? So, and you don't need to think, oh, what if it makes 25% of the mistakes? No, it won't. On average, every month, it's going to do 15% of the mistakes. Well, I mean, assuming the sample size is proper and nothing is changed in the environment and so on. So mistakes I guess one of the conclusions here is that mistakes are that something will happen regardless of your expectations. And it's all about how you're going to handle these mistakes. And it's a, what is good enough from the mistake standpoint or from the performance standpoint between human and artificial intelligence. So I guess that's something a piece. That's actually the same university. Why they did this research in the first place? They actually automated one of the workflows related to the patient treatment. They automated using artificial intelligence, and obviously that they were testing it and see what the actual in the real life treatment people in the controlled environment and so on and so on. And what they, it was a specific study was done in knee osteoarthritis, I guess, something like that.
Yes. Osteoarthritis.
Yes, yes, right. Yes, thank you for correction. And basically what they found during the studies that both human and this artificial intelligence algorithm produce about the same amount of errors. But I hope I will be able to emphasize this. So artificial intelligence makes 13% errors, right? Humans make from 10 to 14% errors. Do you see the difference between my definition of the AI errors and human errors?
Yes, I love that because it's a fantastic example of being an algorithm. It's got a particular output.
Yeah.
Being an algorithm. But humans, because we sometimes don't feel so good, sometimes we're on point, sometimes we're not. I mean, you just look at a sports team. A sports team can arrive on the field, like everything is just, if it's a ball game, the ball could be bouncing exactly the right way that should be bouncing, and everything could just be flowing perfectly, and the game just goes smoothly. But that same team, 1 week later, could play a horrible match just because they all, something went wrong. They had, I don't know, some maybe they have some argument in the team or with the manager, and then now they perform differently. Exactly the same team, exactly the same sport, exactly everything could be the same. Maybe they even played against the same team, but the output is different. And I think what you're talking about there is this range of you can take exactly the same person, same circumstance, same diagnosis that they've got to deliver, but there's a range of performance. With an algorithm, there's a fixed output. If you're like a fixed number of mistakes, I think that's amazing because I think that there's not everyone's always so clear about that.
Yes, and if you will talk to pretty much any business owner, and you tell him, well, I mean, you have two solutions. Here seems to be pretty good, but with a high level of uncertainty, right? And this one. Well, it's slightly worse, just slightly, just a bit, but there is no uncertainty. Like it's absolutely you're going to hit the nail with this amount of something, losses or revenue or income, doesn't really matter, but there is zero uncertainty. And majority of the business owner will say, well, of course, I'm going to take the approach where uncertainty doesn't exist or at least minimum amount. And that's actually, we're going to our kind of end goal of this conversation. How does it impact businesses? How does it impact revenue? How does it impact bottom line of the businesses? And AI, what it does, it actually reduces uncertainty. It removes this range. It reduces this range, okay? Because, I mean, people still will be in the picture and people still will be kind of external factors in the end outcome of the business operations. But keeping and squeezing this uncertainty using artificial intelligence, it's actually a pretty big deal. And when I was reading those article researches about human errors, by some reason, nobody is actually looking at this angle. But once I saw this range for the human people and one single number for AI, like for me, yeah, of course. Yeah, I want a single number, even if it's a slightly bigger, I don't care. It's a single number. It gives me so much space for the maneuvering, for thinking what's my options, and removing all this noise from my head, because I know what will happen at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love that. I want to bring another analogy in. I watch programs like Bloomberg and these finance channels, and then they have these experts come in, these economists and financial traders and business people, and they say, okay, what do you think is going to happen to the market in the next, you know, 2 weeks or 1 month or whatever? And then you have every single one has got a different opinion. Yeah. It's none of them agree. They're always arguing about something, and they always try to relate it to a reason why something's going in a direction. Now imagine having something that you don't have to rely on opinion or perception, but where you could have more predictability. And I think that's predictability is what you're talking about, is what helps business people or healthcare professionals or people, anybody in any environment. The more predictable you can make it, the easier it is to make predictions about the outcome that's going to happen.
Yes, exactly.
So that's what we want, isn't it? I mean, as humans and people that are trying to make the world a better place, if you like, or make our lives a better lives, we want a little bit more certainty, I think is also another word we could probably
use. Yes, exactly. And by the way, do you know why artificial intelligence is this a social guy in the room, in the corner of the room? What's the reason of such?
We need to discuss it, because I think this is a critical, let's call it, our human brains tend to create a perception based on this. And I think this, where you're going with this, I'm guessing, is I think one element people need to take into account.
Our brain just hates something that it doesn't understand. So it's literally, and especially, I mean, that's actually comes from, I guess, how our brain was developed. Our brain needs to understand what's going on around. I mean, it needs to explain every single thing, at least from the high level. There should be a connection, right? I mean, if it's a morning, then the sun should rise. Maybe rain will be, maybe rain won't be. So now it's a summer, then it's going to be fall, then it's going to be winter, then it's going to be spring again, and the cycle will repeat. And if we cannot explain something, we will come up with some spiritual explanation of this stuff, right? So our brain needs to have explanation for everything. If it doesn't have explanation for something, it's just a pain, literally pain in our brain. And artificial intelligence, nobody actually understands artificial intelligence. Well, I'm not saying nobody. Majority of the people, they don't understand what artificial intelligence is. And actually the concept of having something and then producing it without even algorithmic. So it's, you just send an image, and at the end, output will be result that will interpret this image, but there is no algorithm. I don't know how he interpreted this artifact, this specific sickness or something like this. Nobody understands it. Well, even people who work with artificial intelligence, there is no such concept. Oh, I understand how it made this decision. I don't know how it made this decision. It's a neural network kind of connected and produces this result. And the funny thing, that's actually how our brain works in most of the cases, right? But we kind of don't realize it. And not understanding why it came up with this solution, that's actually makes AI to be this a social guy in the corner of the room. And there are studies that actually says that, well, there are ways how to fight this perception, basically through the humanization of artificial intelligence. So, well, we saw a lot of movies when you have these humanoids, they look almost like people, they talk like people, they look like people, they have even skin, hair, eyes, everything else, and actually lips moving, how a human would be moving. It's not actually a random kind of movie geek. That's actually, it is possibly that's a direction where going to move on, because it helps us to be connected to this. It helps. Oh, it's a human. Well, I mean, we know it's a robot. We know it's a kind of something going on, but at least his lips are moving. His eyes are moving. It's actually I can actually see it, so on. Well, obviously it's not going to be the same in every single application. I mean, in industry manufacturing process, in healthcare, when you have just processing images, it's not going to be like this. No, by no means. No, it's just overkill and cost will be just too much. But even in those areas, there are some solutions, they do exist, and people are trying to do it. And actually, I've seen a couple, few attempts, at least few discussions to do this. And the solution is actually explain how you came up to this condition. And the funny thing is, it doesn't need to explain that, oh, because if it's this neuron and then this layer and then I have this multiple layers and then I have these transponders and I have this. No, it's not. The explanation should be, well, I saw the image. I detected this artifact on the image. This is the size of that and that. It has these specific characteristics. Therefore, I can suggest that this is my diagnosis for this artifact. So you see, here we actually, we sometimes, I guess, like to be light about something. I didn't explain how AI works, right? I just explained how in human, I guess, thinking way, this AI came up with explanation. And the thing is, it didn't use this logic. It literally used its old algorithm, but it placed on top of this, how would human would find this artifact and how would human interpret this artifact. And that is sufficient. And many case studies actually show that this is sufficient. This is, oh, yeah, I trust this AI. Because he just explained to me how exactly he came up with his conclusion. So, and this is actually, I mean, you would say it's a totally counterintuitive, but that's how it works. That's how human brain works. And that's, I guess, the direction we're going to move in order to mitigate this social life.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. I love that because it's humanizing the AI. It's making the AI more human in its interaction with people. There's a book I recall a book, and I think it's since been rewritten because some of the original theories have been improved over time. It's a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's called Thinking Fast and Slow. It was written by Nobel Writing Prize winner, a guy by the name of Daniel Kahneman, and he spoke about the way that we think as human beings. There's thinking fast and thinking slow. There's two brains. He spoke about two brains. The one brain makes quick assumptions. It's thinking fast. It saves a lot of energy by making quick assumptions, or what they call rule of thumb, when it makes decisions. As soon as you have to make a long calculation or you have to make a long discussion about something, you have to use a lot of brain power. Then it goes into the slow brain, they call it, which consumes a lot of energy. In fact, they actually even measure the glucose consumption. It uses so much sugar that's why you feel so drained after such a lot of hard work. Where AI doesn't feel that, but we think in our fast brain. We don't think in our slow brain. The slow brain consumes a lot of energy. The fast brain tries to jump steps. It's like, I know if I go put my hand in the fire, it's going to burn. Therefore, fire, don't put hand. I'd think like that, boom, done. I don't even think about why, because it's something I've learned somewhere in the past, and I just got the A plus B equals C done. So that's the fast thinking. And I love that AI is now able to almost imitate those shortcut description, although there's a lot of really complicated things happening behind the scene. But the humanizing of explanations, I love that. But there's one other aspect of humanizing that I think we need to take into account. And I've seen in the US the increase in mental illness and mental health problems that have increased across professionals of different people from different backgrounds. And a lot of that's to do with a lot of the pressures and strains that don't necessarily relate to your work, or even if it relates to your work, it's this takes this toll on your brain. And the thing about humanizing this whole experience is that there's this negative emotion that happens when you make a mistake.
That's true. That's actually.
And healthcare professionals do sometimes make mistakes, and they have this guilt or this this negative emotion. I would, maybe you want to just discuss
sure,
that a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Well, I mean, like, Dudley, have you been ever involved in the car accident?
Once, a small one, yes.
Yes, and I've been twice. Yeah. Well, I mean, one was 20 years ago. I wasn't driving. I was just sitting still in the car and another car crashed mine. But 2 years ago, it was a small car accident, just fender bender, nothing major, right? But what happened after the accident, and I noticed it, and my wife noticed it, I started to drive totally different. I was super, I don't know, cautious about everything around. I mean, kind of on the edge, making sure that I don't make, well, I mean, it's not I don't make the similar mistake. It was a stupid mistake from both sides, regardless. But my driving style changed. And my driving style changed from the relaxing, I know what I'm doing, I control the road, I see everything around, to like, oh, geez, like, oh, the road is too narrow. What do I do? I mean, not exactly. I guess I'm kind of a little bit over describing myself in this condition. But regardless, it's a different condition. And the funny thing, it's a more dangerous condition for driving. So probably for a few days after the accident, I would be more likely to be involved in another accident because of my internal feelings after the accident. And that actually brings another what you just mentioned, that if medical professional makes mistake, and I mean, it's not just fender bender, we're talking about human lives here, right? Or some long-term effects to people. And if this person makes a mistake, then, as you said, it's going to be a guilt, it's going to be negative feeling. That definitely affects your brain functionality. It affects your way of thinking, and you more likely will make even more mistakes, at least for some period after this piece. And I mean, yes, you can handle this. They are trained to handle this kind of situation, and they get used to it over the time. But the problem is actually does exist and it doesn't go away. And the funny thing, that doesn't happen to AI. AI makes a mistake. Okay, well, next patient, please. I'm good. And that goes again to this, I guess, uncertainty, predictability, comparing, not just comparing mistakes, but comparing predictability and comparing outcome between humans and artificial intelligence. So just going to repeat it again, I guess, but still humans tend to make different amount of mistakes, and the amount of mistakes and their behavior is affected even by our previous mistakes, and sometimes in negative way, as we just described it. I mean, maybe over the time it will come up to the better result, yes, but short term is going to be a negative. It will affect his performance negatively. While artificial intelligence, it doesn't care about mistakes. Well, I mean, I guess I said it in the wrong way because people say, of course it doesn't care, it's a mistake, it's a machine, it doesn't care about humans. Well, it's not about this, it's about it. It's not affected by the mistake it does in the process. It keeps performing on the top level of its performance. And that is actually a huge benefit comparing with people.
No, I love that because I think it comes back to the book I was talking about, the thinking fast and slow. It's like when you had your accident or if a medical practitioner makes a mistake, they move back away from this autopilot, if you like, where everything is relaxed, you're doing things in flow, you're probably performing better. And if I come back to the sports team, you're probably performing better when you're in flow and you're in autopilot. We don't have to think about every single thing. When you do make a mistake, you could be emotionally affected. You could be worrying about the next outcome. Therefore, you go back into your slow brain, the brain that uses a lot of energy. You might even have a reduction in productivity. You might have a reduction in your ability to perform multiple tasks in a day, where in the past, when you were on an autopilot, you were making roughly the same mistakes, but the negative impact hasn't hit you yet, but now it has. So I think that's, I mean, I think this makes it fascinating where we're starting to now not just talk about where AI is like, oh, it hallucinates and it makes all mistakes and it generates all kinds of creative garbage, blah, blah, blah. I've heard all those things. But in actual fact, we now need to say, what are we comparing it to? And I think this is today's conversation really, really brought that out, is we have to say is, what are our two models? We have the human model and we have the AI model right now. I mean, there's nothing really anything else known. Maybe there's some other thing that we don't quite know yet, but known is the AI that can perform roughly the same things as humans to a certain extent for certain things. But I think some of the key takeaways for me, and maybe we could just tidy this conversation up, because I think we went into various places. It's the integration of artificial intelligence for me is saying, okay, humans have a certain, let's call it default and autopilot and et cetera, the way we think and act. AI has a certain way it thinks and acts. And maybe there's this way of bringing it together, make the asocial person, the non-social algorithm, become more social and make the human more adaptable to the difference between the two. And then make them more integrating, as in other words, being able to communicate better and enhance the outcomes and improve the outcomes. And I've got here a few notes where I said, make it more transparent. In other words, humans need more transparency to understand certainty and predictability. If it's more transparent, I think the way you gave me that good example of where the AI explained the artifact in a way that a human would understand or explain it, that made it more transparent and explainable, and it made it more human-centered. And I think that's, for me, is the message from today. It's not focusing on the errors. It's focusing on how do we integrate these two to make it the two together become more powerful, more potent, and more accurate and predictable over time.
Yep. I totally agree with you.
Do you agree with that?
That's a good way. And I mean, Dudley, we definitely will touch this topic about comparing or quantification errors in humans and AI domains in future, because this is something, one of the important pieces related to artificial intelligence, and a lot of people are still looking for more information in this area. We just scratched the surface of this topic, and actually the whole research in this area just scratched the surface, and I hope more data, more researchers will be coming in, and we will have more information to share with our audience.
I love that, and I want to finish with a little quote that I heard the other day, and that's one bloke, I can't remember who it is now. It's not my quote, but this guy says that for the first time in a very long time, that the skill people have to learn is a language skill. They have to learn to speak English, or you have to speak whatever the native tongue is with which you communicate with AI. Your English or your written and descriptive language needs to improve in order to be better able to communicate with AI. And I think now all of a sudden we are being tested, especially when you have to write scripts. It's like, how do I explain that? Like, what is my critical thinking? Is how do I get that script down in a way that the AI can understand it? And then when the AI comes back very quickly with an answer, it's like, oh, shoot, now I'm going to ask it another prompt. My English is, and my ability to think needs to now improve. And I think there's one takeaway for me, is this humanizing is also improving our ability to communicate as human beings the more we interact with artificial intelligence.
That's actually very well said. That's very well said, yeah.
So yeah, thank you. Any last words?
No, and there is no such words. I mean, we've covered it. I mean, I think this whole topic is very important. All aspects that we touched today are very important related to quantification. And no last word. I hope it's not the last word. I hope there will be more words and more conversation related to this topic. So no more last words.
We'll do more research and really thank you very much, everyone, for joining us again for another episode of our really, I would say, engaging, and for us it's been, I don't know, I'm finding this journey walking with you, Dimitri, this whole conversation in a new world it's almost like we ran out of fresh things to talk about. And now with AI, it's also just made the world a lot more interesting. So, AI in action, that's what it is. And thank you for joining us today on another episode of AI in Action and the Revenue Amplifier. So we're looking for ways to help you make more money, improve your business, grow and develop, and take your business and your person, your individuals that work with you, for you, or your colleagues, your children, and maybe relatives, anybody who can benefit from this, how we can increase and improve our lifestyles. So just to wrap up, if you ever want to have a conversation, Glorium Technologies, we do focus heavily on the healthcare and life sciences industries. And we really would like to invite you to have a conversation with us. Have a look at the description below the video. Have a look at the different points there that you can maybe just re-look at and re-listen to. There's a timeline we've got in the actual description below. And you can click through to our website and read a lot more about AI in action, and how to increase your revenue. But I would like to extend the invitation to invite us to come to your company, to your organization, and to sit with you for an hour or two or 3 hours, and we can uncover and unpack the ways you can use AI to your benefit from now and for a very long time into the future. Thank you very much, everyone, and have a fantastic week.
Thank you, everyone.